Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated water with a spark. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com. We are live at 312 Pizza Company. Titans are the number one seed. 312 Pizza Company is the best pizza spot to watch the big game. So come on down to 312 Pizza Company at 371 Monroe Street and hang out with 102.5 The Game and stick around for the championship game tonight. 312 Pizza Company is family owned and operated, bringing you a slice of Chicago to Nashville. They specialize in deep dish pizza, thin crust, and all things Chicago style. Plus, it's the perfect spot to catch the championship game tonight. So I asked this question to the text line, which I see already kind of blowing up a little bit. And I asked this question, you know, phones, whatever, you name it. Do Titan fans care how nippy it got yesterday? Like, do they care? Like, before we get to the reaction, just kind of our thoughts in general. I mean, I do, but I kind of don't, right? Like, I want to know the cause and effect of certain things. So I want to know why the Titans, like the Steelers game, like the first Colts game, why the Titans just thought they could go in and just, you know, stick their feet right there up on the coffee table. If you're looking at the stream, I literally just put my shoes up on the table. Why they thought they could just put their feet up there in the second half. I mean, they were out to lunch. And I wonder why, like, they thought that was okay. Like, I know I said at halftime that the game was over, but that was because I was anticipating that the Titans weren't going to take the second half off. That they weren't, you know, it's like Thanksgiving week, right? Like, people go to work on Monday, then, like, midway through the day Tuesday, they just stop working. They might show up on Wednesday. They're not showing up on Thursday. They're not coming back on Friday. And so good luck seeing them until Christmas. And that's what the Titans did in the second half yesterday. They might as well have pulled the starters yesterday. It was so bad in the second half. The play calling was bad in the second half. They got no pass rush in the second half. Like, so I want to know why. Because if this has happened, there's 4 months in a football season. If this has happened in three of those 4 months where we can look at it and say, boy, they really took that half off. That first Texan game, they took that game off. Out to lunch. Like, I'd like to know why that is happening. But as far as, like, Danny Amendola laced the Titans for however many yards yesterday.
Over 100.
A million. I'm not sure I really care about that. Because I'm not sure it really matters. Like, I'm not sure that because Danny Amendola did that. Like, it'd be easy if you were, like, a doom and gloomer. It'd be easy to say, well, Danny Amendola did it. What's Ja'Marr Chase going to do if that's the first playoff? That would be very easy to do. I'm not doing that. Because, like, you beat the Chiefs, and so...
And if there's anything we've learned about the Titans, they show up for big games.
Yeah, when the Titans show up, they play hard, and when they play hard, they're capable of beating anybody. But I just want to know kind of what the cause and effect is there. But as far as, like, the shaming the Titans for almost losing against such a sorry, sad sack of you-know-what team, I'm not sure I do care. I think everybody would expect me to, like, go bonkers over it.
It kind of sounds like you do care.
I mean...
Why do you say that you don't?
Because... I guess I have a problem with, like, the... I have a problem, like, with the fickleness of... Had Tannehill not made that great throw to Westbrook Akina, and they score that touchdown drive...
If he hadn't Houdini'd himself out of a sack...
Yeah, like, the Titans probably lose yesterday. And if the Titans lose, like, that would have been a death sentence. Like, today's show would be 4 hours of just, I mean, just sledgehammering the Titans. And it's not, like, people think I want to do that, and I really don't. Like, I'm a fan, so I root for them to win. But at the same time, like, I mean, it was, like, one great play that you can't expect him to make every game. But then again, a lot of plays are decided by one play here or there. And then somebody texted me, and I agree with this sentiment. I mean, we talked about how I told you that it was, like, very binary with Vrabel. That if they lost this game, I was going to say, screw that guy and win the game coach of the year. That, and I was totally fine on Friday with being incredibly binary there. This is a binary result. Somebody texted me, and they said, in the NFL, it's hard to win. Call the Colts, who lost to the Jags. Call the Patriots, who lost to the Dolphins. Call the Ravens, who lost to the Steelers. Call Arizona, who lost to Seattle. Call the Rams, who lost to San Francisco and blew a 17-0 lead.
Yeah.
Call Kansas City, who didn't play very well against Denver. And I'll say that. I watched that game. I was texting Chris Sanders.
It wasn't cute.
I was texting Chris Sanders Saturday night. And I was like, we were texting back and forth. I'm like, I'm watching Kansas City. And I'm watching, like, how Denver's running the ball on them. And I'm like, well, that's Derrick Henry back there. And that's the Titan offensive line. They're going to be pushing Kansas City way back. Or like this explosive Kansas City offense going three and out. And I'm like, well, if that's Bud Dupree and those guys and they're getting to Mahomes, like, I watched Kansas City Saturday and I was like, and then, of course, you know, Melvin Gordon fumbles the ball and Drew Lock doesn't tackle the guy. And now Kansas City wins by the skin of their teeth. But, I mean, you know, are we going to take each every game and say, well, what about this game? What about that game? What about this game? What about that game? Whereas that's just like, that's how the league is.
And it's the same thought process of looking at it. Well, you know, if Danny Amendola could do it against the Titans, then Ja'Marr Chase definitely could. It's the same way of looking at the Chiefs game of like, okay, well, you know, if that's Bud Dupree and if, you know, if that's the Titans secondary, then we feel totally good about that. But, I mean, it really is any given Sunday. I mean, you can show up one game and just be absolutely completely lights out. You can show up the next, and then you lose to the Jags.
And see, that's the thing, is the Titans could win the Super Bowl this year. The Titans could lose to the Steelers in the first round of the playoffs. But that goes back to yesterday's game. None of that matters about yesterday's game.
No.
None of that matters going forward. So should we spend 4 hours, which we normally do on a Titan Monday, should we spend 4 hours harping on the game when I know everybody out there wants to talk about the playoffs? Like, I know everybody wants to talk about the playoffs. I mean, and trust me, we are going to talk about the playoffs for the next 2 weeks. I mean, we will be talking
we'll
about the playoffs.
We'll do our due diligence.
But I, you know, I don't.
But, I mean, to go back to your initial question.
I don't know.
Do Titans fans really care about the way that the Titans played in the second half of yesterday? Based off of the response in the text line, they say, we do not care.
They do not care.
We do not care.
They do not care. Give me some of them. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have?
Sean says, I do not care. Postseason is the epitome of going 1-0 every week. The only thing that matters at this point is winning the next game. Don't care. Don't care. Already, just win the next one.
Ian, what do you think the GM would have said? Now, we know the GM, every time they won, if we complained about the win. See, it was more so our reaction than it was kind of the way the GM felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he would react based upon how we would react. So it's really a reaction of the reaction, not a reaction of how he felt about the game. But like, if I came in today and said, they almost lost to that terrible Texan team and they almost blew a 3-score lead and oh my God, it's this and that. He would have been like, now in the NFL, a win is a win. And you've never won anything in the NFL, so you don't know. And it's harder than anything you've ever done. So you don't know what you're talking about because it's hard to win these games. Ha, ha, ha. But I do wonder, Ian, how he would have felt about yesterday's game.
Oh, he would have been excited about the win. A one seed?
Would he have been excited about the win?
Because they won. Yes.
I've
that's
been
all
like,
that matters.
I want
yes.
to ignore everything that happened yesterday.
As far as what happened in the game?
Yes.
I mean, it's a division game. They're all going to be. A lot of these division games are close. They're purposely putting the last game of the season and all for all division games for just this reason. I mean, you go around the league, this is what it is. You know, Jacksonville beat Indy. I mean, that's the reason they have these games. Houston games are always close. It doesn't matter who it is. It's a division game.
That's true. Houston,
and so that's the way they wanted it to be.
The last four Houston games, Houston has sucked. And every single one of them has gone down to the wire or they beat the Titans. Like, every single one of them. They won in overtime. You know, the first game in 2020, they went to overtime. Titans won that. They won by 3 at the buzzer to clinch the South last year. They won by 3 yesterday, and they got spanked on Floyd Day in November.
Oh, that was so bad.
That was so bad. What a dishonorment to Floyd for the way that they played that game. Now, they can do that on Jeff Fisher Day all they want, but doing that on Floyd Day is a whole different story. I do think, though, like, I guess I don't care. Like, I do, I mean, here's the thing, right? In 2000, The Titans won that last game of the year. It was the same situation. Win, and you're the one seed. And the, you know, the subtext, like the secondary option was so much worse because you would have a wild card. And so win, number one seed. Lose, wild card. And they beat the Cowboys, who were terrible, like this Texan team. Mm-hmm. They beat the Cowboys 31-0. They got beat in the first round or in the divisional round of the playoffs. So did it matter that they won 31-0 on Monday Night Football against Dallas? I don't think so. And so does it matter that they won by 3 points against the Texans yesterday? I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think that these two things are mutually exclusive. I think that you can be really excited and relieved and happy that the Titans won that game yesterday. And by any means necessary, we got the one seed and that's over and done with. But I think you can also at the same time be a little bit concerned about what you saw from the Titans in the second half. Be glad they won. Now on to the playoffs. But we have a few concerns based off of what we've seen.
Oh, Vrabel's got some tape now.
I think that's fair.
Vrabel's got some tape now to work with those guys and be like, hey, you guys totally screwed this up, this up, this up, this up, and this up. So, there is that. Vrabel asked about Coach of the Year. What he had to say, we'll get to that. And I think every Titan fan is going to lose their marbles if Mike Vrabel is not the Coach of the Year. So, I've got just one Coach of the Year thought. Then we're to your phones on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We, again, are live today at 312 Pizza Company in Germantown on Monroe Street. They've got three $50 312 Pizza Company gift cards to give away via Enter to Win, along with Dirk's Bentley tickets. You must be on site. So, come watch the National Championship game. In order to win those Dirk's Bentley tickets here at 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company happy hour is from 2 to 6, where you get 2-for-1 draft beers all happy hour long. That means 2-for-1 draft beers during the entire Stillman & Company show today. Stop by 312 Pizza Company for Nashville's best sports talk and 2-for-1 drafts leading to the big game tonight at 7 o'clock. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. TSP, I wonder about the game.
Hey, Mike, plenty of talk around everywhere, really, about you being up for NFL Coach of the Year. How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts?
The same thoughts I had last night, Chris, that may be interesting, but it's not important, and we have to focus on things that are important, and that's, you know, trying to play better and prepare, just because all the, any mistakes are just magnified in the playoffs against good teams. Just the magnitude, you know, there's not going to be an opportunity to have, you know, the game that we had against Pittsburgh, where, you know, you do a lot of good things, but you turn football over. And if you lose a game like that, your season's over.
I did laugh out loud. I knew Vrabel had already answered the question yesterday about Coach of the Year. And, like, you know, Mike Vrabel, the last person who's ever going to campaign for an award for themselves.
Oh, 100%.
Is Mike Vrabel. Titan fans want to talk about Vrabel being Coach of the Year. That is, like, something they want to talk about. Like, if I had a T-shirt shop right now, I'd be selling, like, a Mike Vrabel Coach of the Year shirt, because the first person to get a shirt out there to sell, it's going to make a lot of money. Because Titan fans, and I don't totally understand it, but more power to you, Titan fans are, like, obsessed with the idea of Vrabel winning Coach of the Year.
Did you see all the signs yesterday at the game?
I did see that one that was in the end zone.
There was one in the end zone, and then I saw so many others throughout the game of, you know, Vrabel Coach of the Year, Vrabel number one coach in the NFL. A lot of campaigners in Houston yesterday.
And, like, I never remember as a kid caring about Jeff Fisher being Coach of the Year. Like, I never looked at it as, like, you know, Jeff Fisher should be Coach of the Year here, and I was going to make a big deal about it. So I don't know.
It's a wonderful accolade, and it's a wonderful thing to put in the trophy case. But at the end of the day, there's one trophy that matters.
So I heard Jimmy Johnson today talking about that, and Jimmy Johnson was, like, talking about Cooper Kupp's, you know, catch record or whatever. He's
right.
Like, Jimmy Johnson's like, I don't care about any of that. I mean, you know, if we had decided to throw the ball on every play with Troy Aikman, Troy would have had all kinds of records. But we didn't, because we wanted to run the ball, and all that matters is that Troy won a lot of games. That's what matters. I was like, okay,
it's
Jimmy, right
point.
On. I will say this. I do think Vrabel's going to win the award. I think it's fine for Vrabel to win the award. I have no qualms with it. Obviously, Titan fans don't care about yesterday's game at all. If you did, I think there would be at least a little bit of a concern. You know, like, hey, how did Vrabel let that team right into the game with him, given the way everything had played? But I know Titan fans don't want to talk about that. I know. And look, I'm sure there is pom-pom waving radio today that's like, Mike Vrabel should be coach of the year. It's
Mike Vrabel should be mayor of Nashville.
Can I just make one comment before we get to the phones about this?
Sure.
Does Bisaccia in Vegas not deserve any credit? I mean, let's think about the Raiders here for a second. They lose their head coach.
Yep.
To a scandal that was like a decade old. So like now Bisaccia inherits a locker room where he's got a majority of the players who are African American. Mm-hmm. He's got the only openly gay player in the NFL on his team. And in the middle of a work week, he inherits the fact that his coach that was ahead of him, the guy that he was there with, who was their coach, might be a little bit of a racist and might be homophobic and might be sexist. And if there's any kind of other ist, Gruden might be.
He at least showed those things in emails.
So Bisaccia has to deal with this, right? That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, they had a wide receiver they drafted in the first round who killed somebody. And was released and is in jail, and so he had to deal with that, right?
Yes, and I don't mean to laugh, but it is almost comical at this point.
I mean, we're sitting here like, you know, Mike Vrabel had to find a way to beat the Texans and the Jags and whoever else without Derrick Henry. And he had his wide receiver get arrested for vehicular murder. You know, they're not really the same. And again, I'm not saying Bisaccia should win the award over Vrabel. I'm just saying, can we think about Bisaccia?
It's fair to give him a nod.
Then they get better at the end of the year when nobody's thinking about him with an average quarterback in Derek Carr, a guy who I feel like every year there are questions about, is Carr good enough? Are they going to get rid of Carr? Should they get rid of Carr? All the while, the entire time he's interim coach and they're on television, Ian Rappaport, oh yeah, no, Bisaccia is not getting this job. They want to talk to this guy. They want to talk to that guy. They want Jim Harbaugh. They want that guy. And like, all the while, I have never seen Rich Bisaccia put his hand up this year and want anybody to pay attention to him. I have not seen one bad thing from the Raiders off the field, you know, like the Ruggs thing, obviously, but like
taking over.
Yeah, just like I've seen no bullcrap from the Raiders, which that is a bullcrap organization.
Yeah.
And I've seen none of that. They got hot at the end of the year. They won all these games. And yesterday, if there was ever an example of the difference between a stupid coach and a not stupid coach, it was that game yesterday. Because Bisaccia was telling you after the game, like, yeah, I was thinking about
playing
for the tie.
I was ready to tie.
We legitimately were talking about on the sidelines of playing for the tie. And, you know, freaking calculator boy on the other side is like, well, you know, if I go for it on 4th-and-2 from my own 19, I might, you know, raise my chances of winning by 3%. So I go for it. And it's like, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
That timeout single-handedly cost the Chargers the game.
I do not believe in firing my coach after 1 year. I don't believe. Because, like, if you cared about your coach enough to hire him, how could 1 year you fire him? This might be the exception. Where, like, I've seen enough of your stupidness during the game.
The bad decision
that I'm just going to fire you. Because you're just so incompetent. But all I'm saying, I think Zach Taylor should get consideration. I think Vrabel should get consideration. And I definitely think Bisaccia should get some consideration. And I think it's okay to say that these other people should get consideration and that while Vrabel probably will win the award, and I mean, I don't really care if he does, but if he does, fine. But like, can we at least address the fact that there are some other coaches that have done some pretty crazy things?
Well, did you see yesterday during the game, they were talking about four different coaches that were contenders for Coach of the Year. And the three coaches that we've heard a lot of over the last couple of weeks, Zach Taylor, Mike Vrabel, and Matt LaFleur.
LaFleur.
Did you see who the fourth one was? Because if you didn't, you're about to blow your freaking gasket.
Frank Reich.
Sean McVay.
Oh, I did see that. I was like, what? I was like,
every
what?
Year he's in contention for Coach of the Year.
Oh,
even
God,
though he has
people.
Matthew Stafford and some of the best, the best wide receiver core probably in the NFL. They got Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, Odell Beckham Jr., Van Jefferson. You want to name him Coach of the Year?
I like, you know, it's so
Doogie
funny.
Doogie Howser of football, Sean McVay.
It's like Floyd, you know, could do this because he coached and he was the GM for 35 years. So even though he was in the media, like no one really thought he was in the media because he never acted like he was in the media. And he had such disdain for the media. You know, I've never worked with somebody. Like, I got to be honest with you. I think Floyd disliked the media more than Donald Trump dislikes the media.
Which is also funny because Floyd became the media.
Right. Like, Floyd worked in the media. And he knew he was working in the media, but he hated the media. Sean McVay for coach of the year. That's ridiculous. Let's get to your phone. 615-737-1025. We started the hour asking, do any Titan fans care at all whatsoever that the Titans played like crap in the second half? It sounds like the answer is a resounding no.
A resounding we do not care.
I mean, hey, what do we have in there?
Daryl texts in and says, it doesn't matter whether I as a fan am concerned about the defense in the second half. It matters that the Titans players and coaches care. To win in the playoffs, you have to play 60 minutes of intense defense and never play prevent defense.
Oh, my God. The prevent defense yesterday. What the – oh, my goodness. Like, so my dad for years has called the prevent defense the allow.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's probably apropos. Like, there is nothing about the prevent defense I like. I do not understand. The only time I'm okay with the prevent defense is when you're up by 17 with like a minute to go. And at this point, you just don't want to get anybody hurt.
But what we've learned is being up 17 or 21 is not a comfortable lead.
No, but
at least not in the first half.
Right. I'm talking about with like 3.5 to go
right.
And the other team. Like, and now
like
I'm taking my starters out too mm-hmm. at the same time. They were in the prevent for the whole second half. And at some point, can I ask this question without Titan fans who are all worked up about. You know, the Titan fans who are all worked up about it. We don't care about that. That was a close game. Can I just ask him this one question? Like, at some point, are you going to guard Danny Amendola?
I mean, after his first touchdown, maybe you want to think, hey, let's guard this guy.
After he just runs behind everybody for a touchdown, what was that? What else we got?
Ron texts into the text line and says, look, the Titans are known for playing up or down to their competition, so I'm not too worried about how they will play in the second round of the playoffs. Because like you said, the competition is going to be a whole lot better than we've seen throughout the regular season. So why not have faith that they will play up to the competition, especially with the world against them?
I'm not saying that they won't play up to the competition. I think it's totally valid. I think that that's...
We've seen that this season.
Like, I think
you lose to the Jets and then you beat the Chiefs and the Bills and the Colts and the Rams.
I think the Titans can beat any of these teams in the AFC because I don't think any of these teams in the AFC are really all that good. Now, I think any of these teams in the AFC can also beat the Titans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, before I get too worked up about it one way or another, I mean, I do think they can beat, I think they can beat the Chiefs. I think they can beat the Bills. I think they can beat them all. I do think this, though, and I do think that this is something that, like, I don't think they can beat Green Bay. Like, I do not think that they could beat the Packers. And the Bucs have had a lot of injuries, but I think it would be hard for them to beat the Bucs. That being said, if they were to play Green Bay in the Super Bowl, I could see between Aaron's propensity to choke in big games and the Titans' ability to get motivated when no one's giving them a chance. If we're in Los Angeles and like every guest that we have on that week at the Super Bowl is like, yeah, I tell you what, Terry Bradshaw joined. You know, I'll tell you, I think right now Vrabel's done a great job. I think they've got a good team. But no, I mean, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I just don't see the Titans doing it. Like, okay. And like every guest that week is like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see Titans going out there winning. Just because that's what the Titans do. So the idea, could they be more focused in the playoffs? Sure. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about getting like a 21-6 lead on New England. And then all of a sudden, Mac Jones turns into Johnny Unitas. And that sounds crazy, but Davis Mills just looked like Dan Marino yesterday. So I'm not here to judge. That's what I'm worried about.
It's a fair concern because while we have seen the Titans several times this season play up against their opponents, which would make you feel good about the Titans in the playoffs, just mention them, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Colts, the Rams, that stretch. We saw that the Titans very much so could play up against teams that we didn't think they could play against, they could compete against. But what we've also seen as a trend is turning the ball over and losing games in the second half that they really shouldn't lose.
Oh, if they turn the ball over, they'll lose to anybody.
Going up big in the first half, going up 21-0, and then all of a sudden giving up two touchdowns to Danny Amendola.
I like Danny Amendola.
Why?
I think the Titans could definitely use like a player like that. You know, like a slot receiver who gets open and catches the ball and has some experience.
Danny Amendola.
Yeah, sure. Why not? 615-737-1025. I want to talk about the Colts. We're going to talk about the Colts because I watched the Colts game. Like, I know everybody else is sitting out there like, you saw, like, the highlights tonight or I saw the Colts game. And we got to talk about what has been a six-month discussion on this show. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And I'm not sure I've ever been more right about anything in my life than I was the 2021 Indianapolis Colts. So we will get to that coming up. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your chance to participate tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. I also wonder if the Preds ever plan on losing another game this season. That might be, you know, worth discussing as well. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus Naturally Caffeinated Sparkling Water with a spark. DrinkFocus.com. We're live at 312 Pizza Company in Germantown for the national championship game tonight. We'll be giving away some Eagles tickets later today in the show, apparently, as well. So I have got to get to the Colts. Now, I want to say this. This was what happened to me. This is going to be a little bit of a story here, if everybody's okay with that. So yesterday, I'm watching the Titans game, and I'm flipping between that and the Colts game. And I keep seeing, you know, like, Jacksonville's up and Jacksonville's moving the ball and Jacksonville's. And so every time the Titans went to commercial, I'd flip over and I'd watch a little bit of the Colts. And right about halftime was when I was like, Jacksonville might win this game. And so then the second half, I'm like, Titans are up 21-0. Colts look like they're going to blow it. I'm going to tune into the Colts game. So I had the Titans game. The Titans game became secondary to me to the Colts game. The Colts game became way more of a focus. And I watched Carson Wentz play some of the worst football I have ever seen. Fumbling, throwing interceptions on back-to-back possessions. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was embarrassed for the Colts. And yet, all I could think about yesterday was two different things. One was the first day that I ever met Caroline. And two was the national media and the local media in Nashville that has been on their knees when discussing the Indianapolis Colts. So the day that I met Caroline, I was minding my own business working out at my house when it came across that the Indianapolis Colts were trading for Carson Wentz. Now, forget about the fact that the Colts were so embarrassed by what they paid for that they essentially gaslighted what they actually gave up. Remember, it was a conditional second and a third for Wentz?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it was a first and a third for Wentz. And to the people, that's totally different sounding than the reality. It's like the explanation of what restructuring Ryan Tannehill's contract compared to what extending Ryan Tannehill's contract is. And so they really gave up a first and a third for Wentz, which was crazy. You know, the Eagles, by the way, they have like a $33 million cap hit this year from Wentz, and the Colts have a $21 million cap hit from Wentz. Unbelievable.
Gosh.
So I'm working out minding my own business, and I make a little emergency video because I was so happy that the Indianapolis Colts had traded for Carson Wentz, because as a Titan fan, this was the moment that I knew I was never going to have to worry about Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or somebody like that coming to the Colts again. You see, had they gone without a quarterback, had they had old man Rivers in there and he retired, and they decided, you know what, let's give it another try with Jacoby Brissett because we can't find anybody better, and they were terrible this past year, they might have gotten a good draft pick and they might have been able to draft a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe one of these guys in the draft, Trey Lance or Mac Jones, or maybe one of these guys was like Patrick Mahomes, who, yeah, he was like, we knew he was a first-round guy. We didn't know like who he was, and then all of a sudden he's the best quarterback in the league. And maybe Indy pulls a rabbit out of their rear end that way. Like, maybe they trade for Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. All those things were on the table because Indy didn't have a quarterback. Now they got Wentz, and they're paying Wentz all this money, and I was like, yes! Yes, yes, yes. And I had to listen to all of y'all's texts and calls about what if it's like 2017 under Ryken in Philadelphia. I'm like, nah. And the local media here, they were like, you know, Wentz, he could turn back into 2017 Wentz. I'm like,
no.
So then this year happens. And the national media, I mean, every week it was like some new story, some new ranking about how Reich and Ballard are just the best coach and best general manager in the league. And I'm like, what the hell have they done? Like, what have they done? They made the playoffs once with Andrew Luck. They made them once without Andrew Luck. Okay. Like, I don't, Mike Mularkey made the playoffs with Marcus Mariota and won a playoff game and got fired. So I don't understand how this is like what makes Frank Reich just the best coach in the world. And then I'm like, the more I saw it, the more I'm like, what's he done? And I realized that the Colts, this is what it is. Reich and Ballard are just complete kiss asses. That's what it is. So they just kiss everybody's ass all the time. Whereas Vrabel, like, he doesn't care about that. Mm-hmm. Like, Vrabel doesn't. He's not going to try, whatever.
He's not going to be cute in press conferences for the sake of being cute.
No. But Reich and those guys, they play for the camera. So, and this was like every, did it not feel like this summer, every week, there was like a new thing we were discussing? Like, Colin Cowherd today says that Carson Wentz is going to win the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. Something like
Carson
that.
Carson Wentz MVP.
Oh, God. It was just wild. It was just wild. I'm like, this guy, Carson Wentz, sucked. Like, and if there was any question of how bad he sucked, the team that he left that tried to keep him, they fired the coach because he didn't like the coach anymore. So they fired the coach. They went and got a coach to come in here to be his coach. And he still didn't want to be there. And they're in the playoffs with Jalen Hurts, whom I love, but might be a Canadian League quarterback. And they're in the playoffs with Jalen. And Indianapolis is out. And all year, the Indy starts off terribly. And I was like, yeah, I figured that Indy wasn't really all that good and, you know, whatever. And the Titans played them in that second game. And I told you, the second that if the Titans win this game, I'm done with Indy. And I'm worrying about the Chiefs and the Bills, and I'm not worried about Indy anymore. And everybody was like, what about Indy? What about Indy? Indy won some games because Jonathan Taylor can run the ball. Now, he's a beast. Indy won some games running the ball, and everybody, when the Titans lost to the Steelers, like it was like, what about the division, Jared? You're not worried about the Colts now? No, I'm not worried about the Colts because they got that bum playing quarterback, and he is a bum, and nobody would say that he's a bum. And so then finally push came to shove, and he totally bummed out on everybody, and they're stuck with him for next year, and their overrated coach can't do anything about it, and it was just such a joy. After Joe Rexroad came on this show and talked about, you know, oh, yeah, the Colts, I think they could beat whoever, I think they could beat Kansas City. Everybody. Oh, my God. And it's just been like a year. It feels like a long year full of listening to everybody kiss up to the Colts and kiss up to Reich and kiss up to Ballard and kiss up to Wentz. And I'm so glad that most of America can now look at the Colts and see what I've seen all along. That is, Ballard is overrated. He's a okay general manager. Reich has never done anything in his career as a coach. And that Carson Wentz absolutely sucks and makes everywhere he is worse. And now America knows it. Oh, it feels so much better to say that.
I was going to ask, do you feel better?
I do.
I feel like you just lost like so much weight off of your shoulders. Like you just needed to get that out.
I could not handle like the amount of bullcrap.
Well, and a lot of the bullcrap that came whenever Indy was kind of inching their way up into the Titans, the division was in question, and then Carson Wentz was still kind of like the savior for the Colts. But Carson Wentz did not dig them out of that hole at all. It was all Jonathan Taylor.
Oh,
and it is all Frank Reich, who won't use their running back, who was in conversation for the NFL MVP.
Carson Wentz came in here with two bad ankles in September. Jonathan Taylor averaged like 10 yards a carry, and I think he got like 11 carries. It was crazy. I'm like watching the game. I'm like, give the ball to 28. What are you doing?
On every single down, because Carson Wentz is stuck in quicksand. He doesn't have ankles.
He stinks. Wentz. Here's what's crazy. And I texted this to somebody yesterday, and I want to make sure that I pull up the text, because this is for me that just, oh, it gets me. Let me see. Where was that text? Somebody just texted me as I was going through my phone. Where, I think I sent it to, I know this is bad radio. I'm sorry. Give me a second here. But this is so important to me that I just want to share. Here you go. Carson Wentz made so much money that in Philadelphia, they had to get rid of his backup, who most people in that organization thought was better than him, who won them that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They had to get rid of the backup because he made too much money. Then he cried about his coach and got the coach fired. Then they hired a coach for him, and he still didn't want to play for that coach. So the entire organization is on their knees for you, and he's still like, no, I don't want to do this. Humble guy, that Carson Wentz. So then a team trades a first and a third for him. Now, again, they have to lie to everybody about what they traded for him, a conditional second. A conditional second sounds like they might get a second if Wentz lives up to the deal. Not, it's a second if he doesn't live up to the deal. It's a first if he does anything that he's supposed to. They trade a first or third for him. So one team has gotten rid of the quarterback that won them a Super Bowl MVP, got rid of the coach that won them a Super Bowl, and is taking a $33 million dead cap hit on this guy this year. The second team is taking a $21 million dead cap hit, trading a first and a third for him. He got hurt. He got COVID. He wasn't very good. And when push came to shove, his team missed the playoffs because of him. And the team that got rid of him is in the playoffs with Jalen Hurts and the coach that they hired for him and his team that every national pundit said was a Super Bowl contender. The team nobody wanted to play in the AFC playoffs. Can't beat Jacksonville. $32 million against the Eagles cap this year. Unfreaking believable. You know, it'd be one thing. Like, they paid Old Man Rivers $25 million to come in there last year. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was at the end of it. And
I think both parties understood that.
He was fine. Like, yeah. Rivers was fine last year, and they were fine. And, you know, they lost by 3 points in the first game at a good Buffalo team. Okay. Like, that happens. That's football. Titans can lose by 3 points in the divisional round, and it doesn't mean that this team wasn't very good. But, like, Rivers was what he was. And they bring Wentz in, and it's like, well, Wentz can be better than Rivers. He was so much worse than Rivers. And they paid a first and a third and $21 million for him. Oh, my God. I don't ever want to hear. And you know what's funny? Come June, August next year.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. The amount of Reich and Ballard are just so great at what they do.
This is the bounce back season.
They extended them in August. And we were like, on this show, we were like, what are they doing? What have those guys done that like garners an extension? Oh, I got so much joy out of that yesterday. And if you didn't get joy out of what happened to Indianapolis, and you know what the best part about the joy with Indianapolis is?
What?
They have to stick with Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really have any choice.
They owe
him
money.
They've invested too much into him.
They got a first and a third. They're stuck with him. Oh, it's great. Oh, God, this guy. He is the Trojan horse of the National Football League. Oh, God, it's amazing. And you know what's funny, too, is I remember, and this was pre-COVID, this had to be 2019. And I remember we were sitting in the studio during a break, and Floyd would always have ESPN on one TV and NFL Network on the other TV. And one of the shows was talking about Carson Wentz. And so it's during a break, and he looks at me and just randomly out of nowhere goes, you know, I don't know what it is, but the more I watch this Wentz, the more I don't like. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I just don't think he's very good. And, like, he really only circled three quarterbacks, Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco, and Kirk Cousins, as guys that he couldn't stand.
I've heard so many stories about how much Floyd just despised Joe Flacco.
Hated Joe Flacco. And, like, he knew. He knew, but the best general manager in the league in Indianapolis, he didn't know. Let's get to your phones on this next. Oh, goodness. 615-737-102. The best general manager and the best coach. All right. Oh, this is okay. Yeah. All right. 615-737-1025. Throw it all onto the table. We're to your phones next. Stillman and Company. Plus, I do have to give like a couple seconds. The Brian Flores thing's kind of crazy. Stillman and Company.
Crazy.
It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. So there is a little news to get to, and we will get to your phones here in just a second on the Colts and everything else. So the Giants have placed a request for the Titans, like number 2 and 2A in the department, the personnel department, Ryan Cowden and Monty Asenfort. I could not care. I could not give two poops about those guys leaving. Could not care. They're just drafting so well right now that, I mean, God forbid that they let these guys go. So whatever. I'm sure Titan fans will be like, don't take our guys. But, like, you don't even know what they do. So, I don't, you know, more power to them. I do want to get to the phones. I do have a lot of thoughts, though. Brian Flores got fired in Miami. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of crazy. I think Flores is a pretty good coach. The one thing I'll ask is this, and they'll never tell you the answer, because as Tom Brady would say, it's none of your business. Apparently there was a power struggle in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Who drafted Tua over Herbert? That's all I want to know. if it was Flores's call, and you never know with these organizations, if it's the coach or if it's the GM or how much power one has compared to the other, whoever drafted Tua over Herbert is the one who should lose their job. That's all I have to say. And I don't think it was Flores. I think Flores has done a pretty decent job. So, you know, just shows me that the Dolphins are who they are, and this is why they've never been good since Dan Marino left, because they just do the same old dumb crap every time. They'll go hire another Adam Gase, and they'll have him for much longer, and they'll stink. Let's go to your phones as promised. 615-737-1025. Live from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Adam has been waiting patiently and wants to get in on the Colts. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
All right, man. Hey, so this is my problem with the Colts, man. I've been battling these fans online all season. They've been so unnecessarily arrogant with this team, because there's nothing that jumps out about them that was elite. They have a good running back, but even the way they talked about him, it was like, oh, Derrick Henry can't, you know, hold JT's jock, is basically the way they're saying. And I'm like, this is just so – and we're 5-1 in the division. They're just fighting these dudes. So this is my question for you, though, Jared. All right, with that being said, do you think the AFC South has ever been this bad? Because I feel like it's really bad. Like, we're good, but I've never seen it this bad.
So I appreciate your call, and I would agree with you that – the AFC South's really bad. I think it was like this bad when you were one of the bad teams. So like 2014, 2015, like that time period, you were bad. Jacksonville was bad. Indy would get Andrew Luck hurt, and they weren't very good. And the Texans would win the division with Brian Hoyer at quarterback and like lost 30-0 at home in that noon Saturday kickoff game. And the AFC South was pretty bad. But, yeah, I mean, this is the one thing that you talk about striking while the iron is hot. You have a bye that maybe other teams don't, because your division is god-awful. And you won every game you needed to win except for the one Texan game. But that did play a part in it. Like, you're not that much better than Buffalo. And Cincinnati's division, much harder than your division. Russ is up next on the Texan game, 615-737-1025. Go ahead, Russ.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. I'll talk about it a little bit. I know what you're trying to get into at the beginning of the show, and I felt it. We saved our money and went to a ball game this year, and it was the Texans game in Nashville. And we sat there in the rain, and it was awful. It was awful what we went through as fans. And so coming into this week, I thought, you know, there's no way. And we didn't lose, and that's awesome, and we're moving forward. I get that. But I thought, you know, we're going to put our foot on their throat. They're not going to be able to breathe. They're not going to score. We may put up 50 on them by halftime. And I'm excited we're moving on, but I am bothered that that's not what happened yesterday, because I thought if any team had anything – to play for yesterday, and if there was any game that wasn't going to be close at all, it was going to be payback time for the Texans yesterday. But it just wasn't, and I just can't move forward without thinking, you know, there's something. Who is it? You know, I mean, he wins the big games, but how could that have even been a close game yesterday?
So, Russ, I'm going to stop you right there, and I appreciate your call. I will say this one thing. Ian brought up a great point. Division games are always close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, division games are always close.
It's almost how they're designed.
Right. And the Titans took a smoke break at halftime. They went out to lunch. That's what they did. Like, they put their feet up on the desk, because nobody in the NFL ever likes to admit to not playing hard, because you only have to do it 17 times. So nobody ever wants to be like, yeah, I make $13.5 million and I put my thumb up my rear end for a half.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happened. They went out to lunch.
Well, they were up 21-0. They got comfortable.
Yeah, we'll be the one seed. All right. Yeah.
Bye week next week.
That's what they did. And that's why what happened. 615-737-1025. Ryan Tannehill. We've had a lot of Ryan Tannehill discussions on this show. Did Ryan Tannehill prove you, not me, you, right yesterday? we'll discuss next here on Stillman & Company. TriStar Moving. Those are my official movers. They're the presenting sponsor of our show. I moved over a year ago, and I moved with TriStar Moving, and it was the best moving experience I have ever had. They made the entire process so simple, and that's why their motto is TriStar Movers with five-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. They offer home protection, so they cover floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They are always upping the game when it comes to mover training, and everything was taken care of. If you're looking to move today, use TriStar Moving. They've got a state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet as well, and their owners, Garrett and Robert in Nashville, are Nashvillians who care about helping out their hometown. That's why I love them, because they took great care of me. TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. They are TriStar Moving, my official movers.